The book of Job, if you turn there, and this is somewhat reluctant. We're in a jubilee meeting, and to preach out of the book of Job is don't seem like a real jubilee message, amen? But I do feel like this is what the Lord laid on my heart, amen? If you're physically able to stand, find that, the book of Job, and we'll stand and read the Bible together, amen? Appreciate my son, my wife, and I appreciate my son and one of the men at the home being in the meeting. Amen. Thank you all for what y'all have done to help us with the home down there. We're in the construction of that, and I appreciate all that y'all have done to help us with that. Amen. All right, Job chapter number one. You know, I made this statement the first time I preached out of this message. This is a book that's a very, very deep book to me. After you get past chapter two, most of it looks like Hebrew to me. Amen. So I'm just going to preach in chapter 1. Amen. After you get past chapter 2, buddy, it's deep. Amen. A lot of bunch of things I ain't figured out over there. Amen. But I want to preach out of chapter 1, and I'm certainly not going to give you anything you hadn't heard before. I'm not even trying to. But I just want to remind you that we have an adversary. Amen. And so I want you to look in chapter number 6, chapter 1, verse 6, and we'll read there. Amen. It's sure been good, preacher. Thank you so much. I mean, it's been a great meeting. Great preaching. Amen. I would like to talk to Brother Jarvis again. Y'all will laugh. I'm not saying this to be funny. I don't deserve to preach. I would come to the meeting if I wasn't preaching. I really would come to the meeting if I wasn't preaching. But maybe we could work this around where I don't have to do this on the last night. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Where'd the preacher leave? I'd like to talk to you after the service. Amen. All right, Job, everybody's done preached everything you can preach with the anointing of God, and then you call me up to preach, amen. That's why I got heart trouble, amen. Chapter 1, verse 6. Y'all, Lord, let's look in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is greased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them. The Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants for the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he yet spake, there came another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Let's stop and we'll pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to be here. Lord, I've certainly enjoyed the good fellowship, the good singing. Lord, the great, great preaching of the men of God. Lord, I'm here again tonight, God, in need. I pray that you'd touch me. I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I'm again not here to perform, not to entertain, not to make people laugh. Lord, I just want to try to say something that'll help the people of God. Would you help me do that tonight, Lord? Would you anoint me and touch me and illuminate my mind and give me liberty and power to say, Lord, what I believe is important because it comes from the Word of God. And Lord, we're going to thank you now in advance for what you're going to do in this service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. As I begin to study for this message, as I said, the book of Job is a very, very deep book to me, amen. I don't claim to know all that I should know about it, but I was studying to get this message, and I read several reasons why authors say that the book of Job was written. And of course, this would be their opinion, amen. And I guess I would title this message tonight, Job's Journey, the journey that Job made, Job's Journey. One author said this, that the book of Job was written to teach us why the righteous suffer. The Bible said in chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible said that, he said, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. So, there was no cause according to what the Bible says here there was no cause for Job to go through what he did through, what he went through, and the fact that he had not done anything to cause this much suffering. So this author addressed his words toward why the book of Job was written was the fact of why do the righteous suffer. I don't know that I ever found that to be true in the book. I'm not denying what he said, but I don't know if I ever come to the conclusion that that was the answer to the book of Job. Then one author said this, the book of Job was written to show that Job needed to repent. Chapter 2, verse 5, I've heard thee by the hearing of air, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So his conclusion to the book of Job was that it was written to show all of us, no matter how righteous or how upright we may be, we all still need to repent. I reckon there's some value to that, amen. I know that to be true. No matter how close we may get to God or how righteous we may live, we're never to the point that we don't need to repent, amen. And that was his conclusion. One writer said that the book of Job was written to show that you could have patience in your troubles, amen. Over in the book of James, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye've heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. And so his conclusion was that in studying the book of Job, we can all glean the fact that in patience, Job was able to maintain and stay right with God. I guess that would be true. Amen. He was a very patient man. Amen. In all that he went through, thank God, Job come out on the other side as pure gold. Amen. And sure, that took patience to get to that place. Amen. But then as I studied and gleaned from other authors and put it in my own words, here's what the conclusion I come up with. May I say in my own words, Satan hates God. But he cannot get to God. So he attacks God through Job. I believe, and you may not agree with that, but I believe that Job was the means whereby Satan could get to God. I'm glad, thank God, he's kicked out of heaven, amen. And he can't get to God even if he was kicked out of heaven. But I do believe this, amen, that the devil hates God. And the means whereby he tries to get back at God is through the children of God. I said all that to say this. I'd rather you attack me than attack my children. I could take you attacking me. I had a few attacks in my life, not maybe many as you, but I've had people attack me, run me down, talk about me, and all of that was not right. I mean, they lied on me, amen. I could handle that pretty good, but I don't like you talking about my children. I can't hardly handle that, amen. And so Job is the means that the devil's going to use to get back at God because he hates God, amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. Satan says the only reason he's serving you is because you're good to him. That's what we see in verse number 9 and 10. He said, Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him on every side? He said the only reason that Job serves you, God, is because you're so good to him. In other words, in essence, you're paying Job to serve you. Well, I'll be honest with you, I read this in my devotions this morning, not in connection with this message, but I read in the book of Job, in the book of Psalms this morning, 116. Hey, in the Bible, the psalmist said, we love God because He's inclined His ear unto us. We love God because He has heard our prayer. But you know what? We love God because God loves us causeless. Y'all don't have any reason to love us. But we love Him because, amen. We love God because He saved us. We love God because He hears our prayers. But God's love is a causeless love. There was nothing in us for God to love. Amen and amen. But He loved us still, amen. And so He is saying that Job is serving you because you're so good to him. Even Satan in his accusation is admitting that the blessings of God, the provisions of God, the protection of God comes, the protection that he endured comes from God. I don't believe the devil meant to say that. I believe he slipped up. He said, the reason everything Job's got comes from you, God. I think when he said that, he probably called his mother and said, I shouldn't have said that. Amen. He didn't want to give God no credit. But he slipped up and said, hey, everything Job has, you gave it to him. And everything you've got, God gave it to you. Amen and amen. So I'm simply saying to us tonight, notice, remember, Satan attacks the strong. The Bible said, and I'll read it in verse 8, the Bible said in verse 8, he's perfect, upright, one that feareth God. Consider my servant Job. There's none like him. A little bit later in chapter 2, verse 3, again he said, there is none like him. Here's what he's saying. Satan attacks strong Christians. You know, sometimes, I'm certainly knowing the ministry, but I think sometimes our church people may think this, if I get strong in the Lord, I won't have to battle the devil as much. But the truth of the matter is, the stronger you get in Christ, the more you will confront the devil, the adversary. Satan attacks after pleasurable experiences. Look in verse number 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and told him all the bad news. He had just enjoyed a festive event. And now right after that festive event, here comes the bad news. You can mark this down. I've never seen this any more than I see it now. You have the blessings of God on your life or the blessings of God on the church service, and the devil will attack you immediately. I see that more than I've ever seen it, Brother Buster. I see we have a glory service in our church, and I'm telling you, almost for the night service, the devil's done poked his head up. You have a great day on Sunday, amen. And I'm telling you, Monday, you have a telephone call. Somebody got disgruntled. Hey, the devil always attacks after festive events or a good events. Amen. Amen. God's blessing your church. Sometimes we can't enjoy the blessings of God when God's really blessing our church for fear of what's going to happen to stop this. Amen. You say, preacher, you're not too, you're kind of pessimistic. Amen. Well, maybe so, but every now and then I get some good news. That's what's good about being a pessimistic. Amen. Somebody help me. Mark it down. As I said, I don't claim to know a lot about the book, so I'm preaching more out of intent than content. I don't have a lot of content, but I got a bunch of intent, amen. Somebody help me. Very simply, let me say this. If Satan were to try to stop you, what means would he use to stop you? And that little simple thought come to my mind. That's what I'm preaching tonight. Hey, if the devil wants to stop you, what means would he use to stop us tonight? Now I want you to say, I want to say something. When I say Satan, I mean the forces of evil. Satan can only be in one place at a time. He's not omnipresent. He's only one place at a time. But demonic forces of evil are against us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness as well, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm simply saying, it may not be the devil himself. And I want to understand that, because sometimes I think when we talk about the devil, that's foreign to people. But there are demonic forces that are against us. And if you don't realize that, you're already defeated. Hey, if you just saved, if you've been saved 40, 50, 60 years, there are demonic forces against the people of God to stop them from serving God. That's just reality. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, he says, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. May I say the forces of hell against us. The forces of hell against the church. Amen. So I said all that to say this. The devil came to Job. So evidently, the world and the flesh didn't get him. Bible said our enemy is the world, the flesh, the devil. The devil don't have to come to a lot of us. The world gets us. If the world don't get us, the flesh gets us. You know what most of the sin in the independent Baptist churches is today? It's the world and the flesh. The devil don't have to, the demonic forces don't even have to come in us, because the world and the flesh take us down. Amen. But the world and the flesh didn't get Job. So the devil said, let me have him. He was a godly man, an upright man, eschewed evil. You can't say that about a lot of church people today. You can't say that about a lot of preachers today. And I love preachers. And I am a preacher. I'm telling you, but a lot of preachers have forsaken the way of godliness and holiness for a crowd. Amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, the world didn't get Job. The flesh didn't get Job. Amen. I read this. This don't sound right, but I read it to be true in a religious periodical. It said 1,400 preachers this month will be divorced or separated. I said, that can't be in a month. I read it again. It's supposed to be a reliable article. I read 1,400 preachers this month will be out of the ministry. Well, a lot of them's going to stay in the ministry. 1,400 preachers will be taken down this month in their families. Amen and amen. So here, I'm just simply trying to introduce us to this. May I say this? The Lord gave me a little simple thought here. Satan being in the presence of God did not change. Satan lived in the presence of God and it didn't change him. Hey, he was there when he laid the foundation of the world, but it didn't change the devil. You say, well, I'm in the presence of God. It'll change. It didn't change the devil. Amen and amen. Well, it did change him. It changed it for the worse. Somebody help me. Amen. I was uptown. I stopped uptown this morning to get me something to drink on the way over here. And it was in my heart, I just love these kind of guys. I guess it's because of the ministry we're in. And it was a guy over there. It's pretty evident that sin had done beat him up. Amen. And he was kind of twisted and torn. And I stopped and talked to him. And I said, brother, are you from this town? He said, yeah. I'm thinking y'all probably know him. I said, what's your name? He said, John Turner. And I said, man, I got a dear friend of mine that back home used to be named John Turner. And he started telling me about his story. And I asked him about, you know what happened to me? He said, well, preacher, I was out one night and I got in a wreck and I about died. Amen. And I said, well, man, I'm in town and I'm over there in a preacher's meeting. They got some great preaching going on and I'm supposed to be preaching tonight. I said, why don't you come to the meeting? He said, what church is that, preacher? I said, Welcome Baptist. He said, I know about Welcome Baptist Church. I said, really? He said, when I was about a 12-year-old boy, he said, I went to Welcome Baptist Church and they showed the film, The Burning Hell. And he said, I have never got over that film. I said, man, won't you come to church tonight? He said, well, preacher, I'll try. I ain't gonna promise you, but I'll try. Well, they tell you that, they ain't coming. Now watch, he's here. John Turner here? Are y'all listening to me? I'm just simply saying to us, listen to me. Hey, Satan's going to try to stop you. Now, what is he going to use? What is he going to do? My point was, that boy's been in the presence of God. He come to Welcome Baptist Church. He saw the burning hell, amen. He was so shook by it, by his own testimony. He's never forgot that. But it hadn't changed him. Hey, a lot of people go to church and sit in the presence of God and don't get changed. I didn't come tonight. Honest to God, I hope y'all read this right. Sometime last year, we had a service at our church, Brother Barry. And I'm not bragging on this. We've had some so dead that I want to change the name of the church. Amen. I'm telling you, we had a service in our church sometime last year. And I'm telling you, on a Sunday morning, we started at 10:30 and we got it at 3 o'clock. And I'm telling you, not even the visitors left. I'm telling you, the visitors didn't even leave. We went from 10:30 to 3 o'clock. And I'm telling you, the power of God fell in our church. I'm talking about old sinners were going in rooms and falling on their face and crying out. None of them got saved. I'm telling you, it was about 5 hours service. Just God breathed through that place. And sinners, hard sinners were crying out. Philip was there, my wife was there. They were crying. But you know, in that whole service, nobody got saved. People can get in the presence of God and not get saved. Are you listening to me? And we need the presence of God. Yes, sir. I've been there 35 years. I've been there all them years. We have never had a service that the manifestation of God's presence and power was like it was that morning. But nobody got saved. Are you listening to me? Hey, Satan was in the presence of God, but it didn't change him. Matter of fact, it made him worse. Hey, some of those men left that place and they're in worse shape now than they were when they went to that service. Is anybody listening? Amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, Satan has not changed being in the presence of God. What would the devil, those demonic forces do, hey, to stop you? Same thing he did to Job. What was that? Give him a few quick points. First of all, his finances were attacked. He come against his finances. The Bible said in our text tonight, in verse number 14, there came a message unto Job and said, the oxen are plowing, the asses feeding. Beside them, the Sabaeans fell upon them, took them away. Yea, they had slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am left escaped thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another. The fire of God had fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep, the servant, and consumed them, and I only am escaped to tell thee. I just simply say, in that day a man was known by his wealth, by his possession, or by his livestock. So first of all, the Sabaeans, the Bible said in verse 14, the Sabaeans had a tail on them and took away all their servants and their livestock. I'm simply saying his possessions were taken. I tell you what the devil's going to do to stop you. He's going to come against your finances. Listen to me now. Bible said the fire of God, verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen. Well, it wasn't the fire of God. It was the fire of the devil. Amen. This is the devil's work. Amen. Hey, the Bible said, could that be them fiery trials? Amen, that come against us. The Bible said the Chaldeans in verse number 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men. They're dead, and I only escaped to tell thee. And on it goes. But he said what? He said the Sabaeans, the Chaldeans, the camels, the servants, they took everything. Everything's been destroyed. In other words, he came against his possessions or his finances. I tell you what, if you can serve God, that's probably one major attack you might go through. I know when I surrendered to preach, I was making $600 a week in the Charleston Naval Shipyard in 1981. I surrendered to preach. Amen. I had two more years to go. I could have retired with a check. And you know, I was full of faith back then. Amen. Or foolishness. I don't know which one it was. I said, man, I'm just going to step out there by faith. Lord, if I'd have stayed two more years, I'd be getting that check every month now. But I stepped out there by faith. I'm making $600 a week. And the church said, well, we can give you $600 a month. We were just starting a church, so I went from $600 a week to $600 a month. And I said, man, this is faith. Dear God, this is faith. Amen. And somehow or another, in that process, I had an uncle, my mother's brother, and I'm not saying this irreverently, he was crazy. The man was crazy. He was living on the streets. He was eating out of garbage cans. And so my mama couldn't take care of him, so I went and got him, took him to my house. I was going to take care of him. Because my mama couldn't take care of him. So I started taking care of my Uncle Gus. And I said, Uncle Gus, I'm going to let you live in my house. I'm going to take care of you. Well, dear God, I'm telling you, man, he was absolutely crazy. So what I didn't know while I was taking care of him, I didn't know he got a check from the government. So I took my Uncle Gus in to help him. Come to find out, he was getting a check from the government. He was helping me. And he was crazy. And I remember one Sunday morning, I preached from that text over there about David. And David said, I'm an old dad. Mephibosheth said, I'm an old dad dog. And my uncle come walking down the aisle. And he said, Alfred, that dad dog you just talked about, that's me. That's me. Amen. He said, I want to get saved. And God used my old crazy uncle to take care of me. I couldn't arrange that in 1,000 years. I got him on the plane. I had to take him to Brother Roloff's. I went out to Brother Roloff's. Amen. Flew him out there. Me and him flew on the plane. He's still crazy. Now he got saved, but he's still crazy.
Oh yeah.
And we got on the airplane, and I'm telling you, he hadn't got sanctified yet, and he was still wanting to smoke. And I couldn't give him no cigarettes. Amen. And he was looking for cigarette butts in the airport. And he'd find a cigarette butt, and he'd say, oh, look at that one, Alfred. I said, put that thing down, man. We going to Brother Roloff. And he got on the plane, and he started saying, oh, I never pick cotton when the bulls are out loud like that. Everybody's looking at us. But I wasn't going to say much because he's taking care of me. Somebody help me. Hey, I'm telling you, my finance got attacked. There was no way I could live on what God, hey, what the church, that was all the church could do at that time. There was no way I could live. So God put me through the finance test. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what, church, you better listen to me. You better listen to me. The devil's probably going to take your finances. If you hadn't already been through that issue, you probably will. Because God's going to find out why you really serve. Are you serving God because He's good to you? That's what he accused Job of. So God let the devil strip Job's finances. I said, God let the devil strip Job's finances. Amen and amen. Amen. Is anybody listening? Hey, I just believe this tonight. Amen. Hey, I just believe this. Hey, I taught a course on marriage, and they say one of the top two things that causes homes to break up is what? Lack of communication and finances. Finances. He's going to check your finances. Are you serving God for naught? Are you serving God for because He's been good to you? May I say, Job proved that. He lost all of his livestock. He lost all of his labors. He lost his living. But yet Job kept living for God. Hallelujah. May I put it like this? His possessions was not his motive for serving God. Hallelujah. Could I put it like this? We got one for Job and zero for the devil. Job's winning the contest. Amen. Job's got one. The devil's got none. Number two, he's going to come against your family. Look in chapter 1, verse 4, verse 5. The Bible said, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone this day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days were feasting, were going about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, and maybe my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job continually. Verse 13, it was the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. I'm going to tell you what, if the devil can't get you, mom and dad, he's going to aim for your children. And I tell you, this is probably the best point I got. You better mark this down. If the devil can't get you mom and daddy, he's going to aim for your children. Now that don't make us have fear, live in fear, but it is a point. The devil's going to attack your children. Amen and amen. If he can't get mom and daddy, if he can't budge mom and daddy, he's going to try to get your children. Amen and amen. Hey, the devil will see to it. Amen. So that happened to us. And I'm not preaching anything that hadn't happened to you. The devil attacked me and my wife. And I'm not going to go in detail. I probably preached that here before. There come a woman to our church. And I'm not going to get in that story. But there come a woman to our church and got after me. So that proves you ain't got to be good looking. But I'll tell you what, we're laughing. My wife said, if I've ever had anything since we've been in the ministry about putting me under it, was that. My wife said, I barely made it through that. And a woman came to us, and I can tell you this because it came out of the woman's mouth. Here's what she said. And here's what she said. I'm going to sum all that up. She came against me. She started making advances toward me. And she admitted it out of her own mouth. She said, I agree I did that to me and my wife. Are you listening to me? So it's come against us. Hey, the devil came in. And my wife said, she about folded on that. To think that a woman would walk in our church and try to approach the preacher. Are you listening to this? And admitted it out of her own mouth. But she wasn't after me, she was after my wife. Because my wife had to tell her something she didn't want to hear. And when my wife told her what she didn't want to hear, she determined she would get back at my wife by getting after me. Are y'all listening to me? I am telling you, the devil is going to tax your family. Demonic forces. The devil. I'm not big enough for the devil to take time off to mess with me. But he sent the demons of hell to our church to attack me and my wife. Amen. And thank God, we got through it. Amen. And we're more in love and closer than we've ever been. Amen. Amen. Hey, then he attacked my son and his wife. He's here tonight. The same situation. A man called my daughter-in-law up. And made advances to her on the telephone. Are y'all listening to me? Oh, yeah. Amen. This ain't Jubilee, but I can't help it. Then a man called my daughter-in-law on the phone and made advances to my daughter-in-law on the phone. Are you listening to me? I'm not going into all that detail. I mean, they went through awful time together. Are y'all listening to me? And so we got through that. Thank God they're still married. They're still happy. Amen. They're still in church. Amen. So we got through that. Then the devil come after my daughter and her husband. And they weren't as successful. He found a weak link in the chain. And my son-in-law got overcome. And I talked to a lot of preachers how I'm going to handle this. I didn't talk to a lot of preachers. I talked to about three preachers, men of God. I said, how am I going to handle this in my church? And one great man of God that I looked to, he said, Brother Alfred, I'm going to tell you something. Your church is probably not going to survive it. He said, you're not going to get everybody to agree with what you're going to do. I put my own son-in-law out of the church for 3 years. I said, until this is settled, you're out of the church. I'm getting very personal with y'all tonight. This is how much I believe this message is real. You are fighting, we are fighting against the demonic forces that are out to get you. So I had to bring my son-in-law before the church. I brought my son-in-law before the church. And I had some opposition. I knew there was some murmuring in the camp. So I talked to some preachers. They said, Brother Alfred, here's what I said. I said, I'm not going to lose a member over you. I wouldn't make that statement again. I told my son, I'm not going to lose a member over you. So I said, everybody has got to be in 100%. Now I didn't tell the church that, but I told him, I'm not losing a member over you. And so I had some murmuring in the church, and I talked to some prayer. I talked to the Lord. So I went to talk. He told me to go talk to some preachers. Amen. Help me, Brother Tom. I said, Brother Alfred, you probably not going to get 100%. You probably not get 100% agree. And I'm telling you, Brother Jeff, I took it. I brought my son-in-law before the church. I stood him before the church. And I said, tonight, he wants to be restored. He got right. He got saved. He got right with God. He got back in the church. We was putting him back in the church. That night, the opposition were the first one down the aisle. Grabbed him, hugged him, told him we forgive him. We never lost one member. And I'm telling you, if we've had the touch of God, and I'm not here to brag on the touch of God on our church, if we've had the touch of God on our church, we've had more of the touch of God on our church in the last few years than we have all the years before. I simply believe it's because the church rallied around our cause and forgave them. Amen. Paul said, take that man to 2 Corinthians and turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. And then Paul wrote back and said, y'all being pretty hard on that fella. Hallelujah. God believes in restoration. We are fighting against demonic forces that's after your family. If they can't get you husband and wife, he's going to aim for your children. Amen and amen. My daughter, her husband, my, some of y'all would know him, some of y'all wouldn't. Mark Lane plays the guitar and sings. Amen. Mark Lane was in church, but amen. I know there was subtle rebellion. I knew there was subtle rebellion. He would tell you this. Mark Lane was up singing, playing, but there was subtle rebellion in his heart. He walked in my office one day on a Sunday, and he sat down. He said, Granddaddy, I got something to tell you. I said, what's that? He said, I'm leaving. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I've had an offer to go to New York, and they're going to audition me. And they said, if I pass that audition, then they're going to send me to California. I don't want California. I thought it would send me to Nashville. He said, they're going to audition me. And they said, if I do well in that, they're going to send me to California. And he said, Granddaddy, you know it's about music. I said, okay, I understand that. He said, so I just want to tell you, I'm leaving. And I said, well, what do you want me to tell you? He said, you ain't got nothing to tell me, Granddaddy. I done been here ever 9 months before I was born. I done heard everything you got to preach. I know you're probably going to tell me the devil's going to kill me. He said, and he probably will. He said, but I'm gone. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you the devil's going to kill you. I said, you are putting yourself on dangerous ground. So he sat there in the chair. I looked at him. He looked at me. And I said, Bubba, all I can tell you is I love you. And whether you go or whether you stay, I'm still going to love you. And I'm telling you, Brother Tommy, he broke. He fell out in the floor. He wailed out to God. He got right with God. And 2 Sundays ago, God called him to preach. And he preached his first message Sunday night in Gastonia, North Carolina. Here's my point. The devil almost had him. You know what he preached, brother? I didn't get to go because I had so much going on. I hated that. Amen. But you know what he preached? What he preached, Brother Barry? He preached on over there where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, they stood. They stood when the singing cranked up. They stood. And this is what they tell me. I ain't heard it yet. He said, I had 600 country music songs on my internet media. You don't know what your young people's doing. If they ain't in church sold out, you don't know what they're doing. You know why? Because the demonic forces are after our children. Amen and amen. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, the devil is out to stop us. He attacked his family. He attacked his family with sin. The Bible said, y'all explain this to me. They were drinking. He said, I'm scared they're sinning. Amen. He attacked them with storms. The Bible said in verse 19, the storms came and killed his children. Then he attacked the family with sarcasm. Look in chapter 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. He said unto her, thou speakest one of the foolish women. What shall we see? Receive good at the hand of God? Shall not we receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. He's got Ms. Job and Job arguing with each other. He's got mom and daddy arguing with each other. Hey, the devil is out to stop your family. Now Ms. Job and Mr. Job's arguing with each other. They're being sarcastic. Won't you curse God and die? He said, you're a foolish woman. Hello? I mean, she lost 10 children too, you know. Somebody help me. Here's what they tell me in my study on the home. The loss of a child many times brings thick friction in the home and the man and wife divorce. They say it is not unusual for when a child dies that the man and the wife separate. Are y'all listening to me? He lost 10. Are y'all listening to me? How many have quit serving God because of family problems? How many men are out of the ministry because of family problems? Amen and amen. I wouldn't dare mention what I just heard this morning. I wouldn't dare mention nothing that you would know anybody. I heard this morning. I was talking this morning and a preacher told me of a certain preacher and you wouldn't know who it is. Amen. And he said, but preacher, how about his wife? I said, I don't know nothing about his wife. He said, she was mean as a junkyard dog. She said he would preach and go home and she would kick the walls, and try to keep him awake. I'm telling you, the devil is out to stop your family. Amen. Yeah, God, this ain't Jubilee, but I ain't nothing I can do about it now. Amen and amen. I'm just trying to tell you, they got right with each other. Mr. Job, and Mrs. Job made things right. He must have went back and said, honey, I'm sorry. She must have went back and said, honey, I'm sorry. Why? They had 10 more children. Somebody made up. I'm telling you, they really made up. Amen. Hallelujah. I figured the woman stayed expecting for 15 years. Somebody fell in love with each other. Amen. You know what they said? We better not let the devil destroy our family. Amen and amen. Man, don't tell me my husbands and wives don't fuss. They fuss on the way to church, man. The devil, we better be careful how we fuss. Amen. I am telling you, I'm just telling you. It's real. It's real, Brother Tom. The devil is out to stop and destroy your family. That's what he did to Job. He went after his finances. He went after his family. He went after his flesh. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2. So went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with 12 balls from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. Now, I'm y'all help me, church. The Bible said the devil put them balls on him. The devil made Job sick. Are y'all listening to me? On top of all the trials, here comes sickness. I don't tell you, this is the truth. It's hard to serve God when you're sick. Now some rise above it and write songs and do all kind of spiritual things, but most people's sickness stops them from serving God. Amen and amen. Satan smoked Job with balls. I'm going to make a strong statement, but I'm telling you, I want to have my statement. We give little attention to our health. Amen. I know what it is. I don't even want to say this after the meeting we were just in Monday, and some of y'all was there Monday, after those two great men of God who've been attacked by Satan. But I'm telling you, I know a little bit of what it's like to be attacked in my flesh when I had a heart attack. Amen. Most of y'all know that, and I'm not here to rehash that. I had a heart attack preaching to Brother Larry Wells in the pulpit 10 minutes into the first night of the meeting, and I was preaching, and something hit me in the chest, and I thought I'd pull a muscle. And I kept on trying to preach, and I kept on trying to preach, and I got weaker and weaker. And finally I said, man, Brother Wells, I think I pulled a muscle in my chest. I just can't preach no more. And a lady in the church run up there and checked me out. Somehow she was a nurse, and she said, no, Brother Willis, you hadn't pulled a muscle. She said, we've got to get help for you. I think you're having a heart attack. And I had a heart attack. I mean, they rolled a stretcher down the aisle and put me in the stretcher, and it was highly embarrassing. Amen. And rolled me out of there and took me over to the emergency room there in Newport, and the doctor come in and checked me. He come back and the doctor said, Mr. Willis, my wife wasn't there. She was coming later. And she said, Mr. Willis, I hate to tell you this, but you're having a massive heart attack and we cannot handle this. We've got to get you somewhere to another bigger hospital. Said, now we've got Knoxville and we've got Johnson City. Which one do you want to go to? I said, man, I'm not from this part, best I could. I said, I don't know where to go. And it's clear as a bell. It's clear as a bell. Brother Clarence Stanfield popped in my mind. And I said, take me to Johnson City. And they said, Johnson City it'll be. Are you ready to fly? I said, I'm ready to fly. I wasn't talking about no helicopter though. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away.
Amen.
They were talking about two different kind of flights. Amen. I was talking about a flight to the Pearly Gate. They were talking about a flight to Johnson City. And I'm telling you, when they rolled me off the plane at that pad, got me with that stretch, rolled me in at the door with Dr. Clarence Stanfield, and he said, I'll pray for you, Brother Will. And I come through my heart attack. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil's going to attack your health. I wasn't 55. I wasn't as old as I am now. Some of y'all been that way. Some of y'all men been further down the road than I have now. I wasn't 55 years old. I was in my prime. I'm an old gray mare now. And then 2009, I had two heart attacks back to back. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you. Now here's what the Bible said. Y'all, you theologians, straighten me out. The Bible said the devil put them balls on Job. Oh, you listening to me? I'm like the preacher yesterday. Thank God for a good wife. Hallelujah. She stood by my side. Amen. Hallelujah. Drink water, drink water, drink water. That's what my wife said. Drink water, drink water, drink water, drink water, drink water, drink water, drink water. I hear that every day of my life. Drink water, drink water. I said, honey, this cappuccino tastes so good. Drink water. Anybody listen? The devil attacked Job's health. I don't know how you're going to explain all that, amen. I'm telling you, it was the devil attacked his health. Amen and amen. They took me home, Brother Buston. I didn't come to preach this. Honestly, some of y'all heard me say something about that yesterday. I didn't come to really get in this tonight. I'm telling you, I went home, Brother Buston. They put me on all that medication. I sat there with my Bible in my lap. I couldn't pray. I couldn't read my Bible. I was in depression. I'm telling you, Brother Jeff, I was in depression, Brother Steve. I couldn't read my Bible. I couldn't pray. And I'm telling you what the devil said. Yeah, he didn't say it audibly, but it was loud. He said, your days of preaching is over. Hallelujah. But I got news for him tonight. I'm still preaching. Now, take that back. I'm still trying to preach. Amen. Amen. Every now and then, hey, most of the time I strike out, but I've done preached enough to know if I can get one little good hit, it'll make me want to go back again. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil's going to attack your health. You know what the answer is? Drink water. Drink water. Drink water. Hallelujah. Anybody listen? You know what the devil, I really believe what he tried to do? You know what I believe he tried to do, Brother Buster? Is what I believe. I believe he tried to get me back on that, on them drugs. I believe he tried to get me because that was my weakness. Hey, I come from a life of addiction. And I believe the master plan of the devil was I lived through it. I'll get you back on drugs. Hey, we have men come to our home. This is honest God truth. I grant you, Philip, you'd have to help me on this. I bet you out of 75 men, I venture to say 15 of them, hey, you know how they got to our home? They had good jobs, they had good wives, they had good families, and they got hurt on the job. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor put them on pills. Help me, brother. Help me over there. Y'all help me over there. Hey, we think, well, the old drunkards, the old drug addicts. Hey, some of them were good, hard-working men, got hurt on the job, and the doctor put them on pills. We've had preachers in our home. We've had, help me, Brother Smith. We've had preachers in our home. Pastor churches. Hey, got hurt. Got on pills. Lost their church. Lost their family. We've had preachers' kids in our home. Had good jobs. Got hurt. On the job. Put them on pills. They're addicted. The pastor, I believe the man, when I look back on it, I believe the master plan, because I come from a life of addiction. I believe the devil's plan was, you made it through the heart attack, but I'll get you on drugs. Prescription drugs. Forget the illegal drugs. How about the legal drugs? Somebody help me. Oh, you preaching now, Reb. He has a master plan. The devil is after you to stop you with your sickness.
You're right. Yeah. You're
That's
right. Amen and amen. If you make it through, he'll say, well, I'll get him on the other side. I'll just get him addicted.
Yeah.
Amen. You better be careful how you take them pills. I tell you what, I'm taking a pill called the gospel. Amen. I take it every morning. Amen.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me? Amen and amen. He attacked him with his friends. I'm about through. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. And when Job's three friends heard all the evil that was coming upon him, they came everyone from their own place. And you know the story about those three guys. Hey, God, what friends? Are y'all listening to me? Those three friends came. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. Many a person's quit serving God because of friendship. I had never thought of quitting one time in my life. I've never thought about quitting of serving God. I wasn't a preacher then. I was in a church and my pastor got caught in adultery. Man taught me everything I know. Everything I know today my pastor taught me. And they caught him in adultery. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on that side of church about halfway back. And when they caught my pastor, I bowed my head one night. And I just simply said this, Lord, I didn't know Christianity was like this. And I just tell you what I feel like. I feel like quitting and never coming back to church. You let your pastor get caught in some hideous sin and you've backed him, you've supported him, you've held his hands up, you've prayed for him, amen. You've took all the abuse of the town talking about him and you've stood with him and then he walks off and embarrasses you and leaves you high and dry. I thought about quitting, Brother James. And y'all forgive me, but I did think about quitting. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me? I lost a friend and my pastor and I almost quit. Amen. I don't know if I would or not, but I sure thought about it. Amen. Hey, friends, members, ministers, members. How about members? I've had members tear my heart out, ain't y'all? Man, I'm telling you something we've done the most for. Isn't it always that way? The ones we've done the most for. They walked off and left us. Went another way. Missionaries. I have missionaries we've supported. And we still send out our prayer sheet, what we expect out of a missionary, what kind of standards we have, and what kind of convictions we are. And we wouldn't have took you on if we didn't believe that. If I respect my choir by standards to sing in the choir, and I don't pay them, they pay me. You think I'm going to send a missionary money and don't believe what I believe? No. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to answer that question. No. I'm not going to pay him. They pay me to abide by the standard. I'm not going to pay him, and he don't abide by it. And I'm telling you, I've had some good, supposedly godly missionaries fall out with me because I said, I still expect you to abide by what we preach. And it's killed me. I just talked to one not long ago. Brother Robbie, a good missionary with a strong board. Amen. And I said, brother, you are now doing things that you didn't do for 30 years. Why would you start doing that now? And he said, Brother Alfred, I'm telling you, you just arguing over 3 inches of cloth. He said, you're making an issue over 3 inches of cloth. I said, yeah, you're probably right. But you used to.
Amen.
Who's changed? You and me. Yeah, God, this ain't no camp meeting. And I'm telling you, I had to hang up the phone and he put the blame on me. And it broke my heart. I love this man. I love this. I supported this man. I've sent money to this man. And he fell out with me over what he said, 3 or 4 inches of cloth. Breaks my heart. I say this about everywhere I go. It's probably my age doing this. So y'all forgive me. I am not changing. I've been dancing this way ever since I started preaching. I ain't switching partners now. I'm going to stick with the one who brung me. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care if everybody else has changed. I hope they don't. I'm not going to be a Pharisee, but I'm going to stand where I've been standing. I'm telling you, the pull of this world is getting a lot of us. So it might be good friends you have. Might be good friends break your heart. Might be bad friends. You better be careful who you hang around with. Evil communication corrupt good manners. The devil is a master at division. Amen. So he got his friends. You know what he did? A lot of people quit church over friendship. But thank God Job didn't. Oh, Job pressed on. You know what the score is now? We forgot it. We're in the fourth inning. It's 4-0. Job's got 4 and the devil's got none. I'm telling you, he is scalding him. He's whipping up on him. The devil said, let me at him! Let me at him! And I'll show you. Oh, devil, you better back up. Job's going to knock your head off, friend. Hallelujah. I'm through. Last point. I got real deep. Go to chapter 7. Chapter 7. I'm through. Look in chapter 7. Bible said in verse 3, so I am made to possess months of vanity, wearisome nights appointed to me. Here's what I put down. You know how the devil tried to get Job? Tried to get him with fatigue. He just kept hammering on him, just kept hammering on him. Hey, just would not let up. One thing after another. One thing after another. And I'm telling you, sometimes, brother, when you're serving God, church, I'm saying this to the whole, whether you're a preacher, whether you're just a layman, a lady in the church, I'm telling you, the devil is relentless. It's one thing after another. It's one thing after another. It's one thing after another. And he just keeps hammering. And he keeps, and I'm telling you what's happened to a lot of Christians. They've got tired. I'm just tired of fighting it. You know what, when brother come to me, a good brother, I mean, he loves God, he's still in church, but he made this statement, Brother Tom. He said, preacher, I get tired of saying no. I just have to say, no, children, we can't do that. And he's got little kids now. He said, no, kids, we can't do that. No, kids, we can't do that. No, kids, we can't do that. He said, sometimes it's fun to myself, Jamal, I'm saying it. No, no, no. He said, but now we incorporate things that we can say yes. That's why, you know what I'm trying. But you do get tired of saying no.
Right.
I tell you, pastor in the church sometimes, Brother Jeff, I just get said, no, we ain't going there. No, we can't do that. No, we ain't going to look that way. No, we're not going to do that. And it sounds like, no, no, no. I got to find out some yeses. Yes, we can go to church. Yes, we can drink water. Yes. Yes, we can. Amen. No, we don't drink liquor. Yes, we drink water. Amen. Somebody help me. Here's what the devil does. I know what he does. He just hammers and hammers and hammers. And I'm telling you, even as a preacher, sometimes you say, dear God, all I feel like I'm saying is no. Because we're pastoring in a church that is worldly. We're pastoring in a world that's worldly. And it's affected our churches. And I'm telling you, brother, you can say what you want to. Hey, when used to be a long time ago, and I'm quit, Brother Robert, I'm about through. It used to be a long time ago, if a couple would walk in your church shacked up, the preacher would about point them out. Said, you're living in sin.
Yeah.
Now they come to our church. That's the crowd we go reach. I'm making sense. We're pastoring in a different day, friend. It used to be abomination for a man and woman to live together. But I'm telling you, Brother Jeff, if we go reach that crowd today, hey, if we go reach them, we have to some kind of way show them that we love them. I'm going to talk about the point of compromise. But I'm telling you, we got to let them know we love them. Most of them don't even know it's wrong. Not most, a lot of them don't even know it's wrong. Man, I had a couple come to my church. I'm telling you, Brother Bus, I had a couple come to my church. They walk in. They was this godly-looking family. Honestly, they was this godly-looking family as I got in my church. A man, his living wife, and his three beautiful kids. And they were shacked up. They shacked up 7 years. And so they think in common law. So I'd get them preached. You're living together. You're shacking up. You ain't right with God. I didn't point them out and say, get out of church. Hey, if we're going to reach sinners today, that's who you're going to reach. Because that's what the world's full of. We've had to make some kind of approach. I ain't telling y'all what to do. I still preach it. I still stand for it. But we have to make an approach. They used to not do it that way. They used to say, that's an abomination. Get out! I've heard the old preachers preach. We can't. It's a different day. And you just say, no, 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 no. I had a woman come to me the other day. Had a woman, her husband died about 6 months ago. Had a woman come to me the other day. Her husband died about 6 months ago. So, I'm long story short. I'm quitting. I'm going to quit. I promise you. Had a woman come to me. Every preacher could tell all these stories. Had a woman come to me. Been coming to our church. After her husband died, she's been coming to our church. And so one Sunday, she walked in with another man. Now her husband's dead. He's been dead about 6 months. She walked in with another man. I said, how you do, sir? And he said, you know, we're kind of seeing each other. My husband's dead. We've been seeing each other. We knew each other way back. I said, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. And so time rocked on a little bit. And so they come in my office and they said, we want you to marry us. I said, you want me to marry you? And they said, yeah. And I said, I got to ask you a question before I marry you. Are y'all living together? She said, preacher, we are. I said, y'all, oh, now they my age. I said, he's older than me. I said, y'all two are living together? And you ain't married? She said, preacher, we know you wouldn't like that. I said, it ain't what I like. It's what God said. I said, now just let me tell you something. Hey, because here's what everybody does when I tell them this. No, I'm not marrying you. I said, now I know y'all going to leave and get mad, think I'm, you know what I am. She said, no, we're not leaving. She said, we appreciate you telling us the truth. I said, y'all need to go to the justice of peace, and y'all might not agree with this, but I don't care what you believe right now. I said, y'all need to go to the justice of peace and get married and come back and tell me. Y'all would have said, don't marry any. I don't care what y'all said. I told them, go get married. You know what they did? They went and got married. And called me up and said, preacher, I just want you to know you'll be happy. We got married. I said, hallelujah. She said, now we want to join the church. I said, wait a minute now. They're going to join. They're going to join. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to go over the bylaws. I'm going to show them what we believe. And they know what we believe because they've been coming to church. And we're going to join our church. I'm happy about that. Amen and amen. I'm going to put him so far down in the baptistry that when he comes up, he'll do anything. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. We get tired. I know y'all laughing. I'll tell you, sometimes you just get tired. And the devil beats people down. And that's why we give up our convictions. That's why we threw in the towel. Amen. Because we get tired of saying no. But I say to us tonight, thank God Job said, I'm going on for God. Amen. And now the score is 5 for Job and 0 for the devil. I might put it 5 for God and 0 for the devil. Amen. You know, I won't say this and I'm through. I had a bunch more right there about statistics, about stress. I ain't give you that. Hey, I want to say this. You ever notice every time somebody would come, every time he would go and kill the animals, then he'd go kill the children. You know what he always did? He let one live and come back and bring the bad news. The devil always made sure there was one that lived out of those bad situations to come back and give Job the bad news. There's going to always be somebody coming with bad news. The devil will see to it. Amen. I just think I want to be like Job. I want to be tried and tested. Amen. When I'm tried and tested, I want to come through pure as gold.